pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? All you do is text me. Coming up on the program today, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Don't talk about BCA. We won't. Also on the program, Chris Elliott, our returning champion, an hour early today. We had to make some room for him to get some other commitments. So you'll hear from him. In the 11 o'clock hour, Jerry Carl will be with us, the victor from last Tuesday or Tuesday's Republican primary. And by the way, those of you who doubted me, which is all of you, no, not all of you, some of you, on Monday, we'll have the Democrat nominee, Clyde Jones, in person here at the Fairhope Bureau. So the hijinks will continue in AL1 all the way till November 3rd. But Jerry Carl coming up today on the program. In the meantime, text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, hit me up on that text line, and we will do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Generally speaking, we're in the same place we kind of were yesterday. We haven't talked much about this story on the program, but the SPLC facing some legal problems. So the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, how many of you are familiar with that? It just kind of, they had a weird scheme going to like manufacture what they were supposed to be fighting, their objective there to put an end to the hate. But so essentially, and this is where I think Doug Jones commented on this. So the SPLC was bankrolling alleged neo-Nazi KKK types. That they were being bankrolled under the auspices of, they were paid informants. As if the SPLC was a functioning law investigatory agency, they weren't just compiling statistics here downtown Montgomery, Alabama. They were actually out in the field investigating. I don't get it. So anyway, the feds looked at this and said, well, what are you doing here? Now this is the Trump administration. And so essentially what it came off as, if you haven't been keeping up with it, is they were paying these protesters, the quote unquote protesters, especially in Charlottesville. Remember the Charlottesville, protest? Someone died. Get those guys ginned up and justify the existence of the SPLC. We just don't, you know, when the Southern Poverty Law Center first came into being, it had legitimate issues that it could tackle. And as society has progressed, you know, why do these institutions still exist? Or furthermore, they can exist, but why do we give them such big money? Why do we give them such notoriety in our political discussions? That they are the end-all, be-all authority on what is hate and what isn't. And they were tagging a lot of I think, well-meaning, conservative, pro-life entities as hate groups. And freezing them out of a lot of parts of society, trying to castigate them because they held beliefs that, especially when it came to LGBTQ issues, that were out of line, out of, with the mainstream left wing. And I guess this was like, well, people just aren't giving money to us like we used to be getting. They manufactured some incidents is what is being alleged. So it's interesting. It's suddenly the battlefield, if you will. The main focus is the Middle District of Alabama. U.S. Attorney Thomas Govan, who I know, he ran for one of the appeals court judges, open judge seats a couple cycles ago, is right in the middle of it, and you find out that it's just what the DOJ is alleging to be fraud. Give us money so we can fight against these hate groups. And meanwhile, they are funneling, according to this story, $1.2 million. And apparently they, I guess she was the lady here that was arrested, Heidi Byrick. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly. But they were romantically involved. This neo-Nazi informant shared a home and a joint bank account. So it's a little incestuous, and it should. We should talk about the credibility of these organizations that can go to these Wall Street corporate boardrooms and tell, what groups are good and what groups are bad, and especially in the eyes of the media, they are respected authorities, and they're infallible. And they could just call somebody or a group, a hate group, and it's just common knowledge, conventional wisdom. And especially within the eyes, not just the eyes of like corporate boardrooms, but in the eyes of the federal government, that they are the authority. We have to listen to them. These guys are the hate experts. And it turns out they were playing a little fast and loose here. 251-343-0106, but it's interesting because it kind of comes into Montgomery, Alabama. And that SPLC has just been fraught with controversy over the years internally. Allegations of Morris Deeds and the allegations of sexual harassment and during the Me Too era. But if they weren't so willing to label people and groups that they disagree with as hate, this probably wouldn't have been a thing, but it needs to be exposed, and we need to stop pretending that a group like the SPLC has the credibility. And also when these groups like these corporations give them money, they extort money out of corporations like Procter & Gamble or whatever. They're just looking for the path of least resistance, Kellogg's, to have good corporate standing with these left-wing storefronts, a big left-wing storefront nonetheless. And they implement all of the diversity programs and all of the ESG. Just to appease these people. That's something that I go back to the 2024 election, and there was this mythology out there that the country had moved decidedly left. You better get on board. You better start celebrating all of these liberal hobby horse type events, Pride Month or whatever, Earth Day, or you're going to get left behind. you better start using recycled packaging, and you better have, a diversity on your corporate board, or your company's going to suffer. But the country doesn't think that way. It's not based on that. It's based on the quality of your product, demand for your product. It went from this, like, okay, we're trying to maximize the value for our shareholders, make a profit, and operate in a capitalist economy. And then it became something like, well, okay, well, you got to kiss the ring of all these left-wing groups. You've got to stop using vendors who don't believe in the same things we believe in. So, anyway, right there in Montgomery, Alabama, we'll be hearing more. And I know Kash Patel, the FBI director, has been very outspoken about this. It's kind of a fascinating thing going on. That's been going on for a little while, ever since Trump came into power. See how long it lasts that they could get anything done before the end of this administration. Let's see here. Man, execution last night. Not a lot of, this was a pretty heinous crime. Jeremy Tremaine Williams was executed by lethal injection at Holman. This is a 2021 crime, which is very, and here we are, 2026. 5 years is a very, very fast trajectory for a death penalty. And not a lot of, you hear a lot from the anti-death penalty crowd on this one. They pick and choose their battles wisely. There's no play-by-play waiting for that last-minute stay. None of that. We continue to talk about elections nationally. There's some polling out. Ohio continues to be interesting. John Husted, I think, is struggling in a Senate bid, but Vivek Ramaswamy is doing okay in his gubernatorial bid. There's a contradiction there, and I don't know what to make of that. But there's that. These blue wall states, I guess, where it really matters. We kind of know what's going to happen in Alabama, but we're watching some of these other swing states to get a better sense of where Democrats and how they're doing, because the Republicans continue to bang the drum of the socialism. And yes, this is something that is really showing up in Democratic Party politics. But it's sort of the idea here is, okay, these guys are crazy. They believe in communism, socialism. Vote for us. And sure, that's an okay sort of tangential argument. But, like, the main picture is, hey, gas prices are high. Iran continues to be something that we're not really sure where this is going. You got to start addressing this. That's the core problem. And something more substantive than vote for us because they're crazy, I don't think it's going to win today. More on that in a moment. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Try to tell me to stay away from the train. Up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday morning. Todd Stacey up in the next segment, so stick around for that. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Rick asks, When the hell are they going to open up the likes of the Rainbow Coalition and a fundraising effort from that Shakedown artist, Al Sharpton? The above list is nothing more than a legit slush fund. Southern Poverty Law crooks, writes Rick. Maybe they were Shakedown artists, but they were doing it. They weren't taking the money from people, well-intentioned people, I'm convinced, who really think that these groups like the Rainbow Coalition or Southern Poverty Law Center are serving society in a positive way, but doing, like, you know, is Al Sharpton using the funds he is collecting to hire, like, racists to go out in the streets and commit heinous acts of racism or whatever? Does that, you know, so that's where the SPLC gets into trouble. And now they're claiming that they were, you know, that it's okay. They were just using these guys as informants. But some of that money was kind of circling back around. There was a lot of self-enrichment there, it appears. Joint bank account, whatever it was. Yes, Saturday, you can kick back with your beer, enjoy, have a beer or two, and watch a ball game in air conditioning. It might be from the last hour. I don't know, Fire Dog. See, Haywood, weird scheme is a bit of an understatement. Yeah, well, we try to tread lightly here. What a pathetic group of individuals. I guess when it comes to their ideology, that is just par for the course. Troy, hi, Jeff. I never doubted you. Likely never will. Mike, Jeff, do you remember it's just going to be 2 to 4 weeks in Iran, but I guess it's a good thing the Navy is sending the USS George Washington to the Middle East to replace Abraham Lincoln before any more sailors attempt to jump overboard? Yeah, I think that they are taking some heat. That, you know, Ed Seth was supposed to be a guy. He wasn't a general. He wasn't one of these guys who was like bureaucratic, Washington, D.C., Pentagon, you know, grade as defense secretary. You know, half of the problem with the Pentagon is you got to play the politics of the Pentagon. There's lots of politics in the military. And this was supposed to be a break from that. And my guess is a lot of this is being kind of embellished, trumped up. Now, that's a serious thing. Don't get me wrong. Well, a sailor tries to commit suicide, but we don't know the circumstances there. We don't know what was going on. But it's this game that you got to look at it like this, Mike, an analyst, and I know where you are on the foreign policy of it. But the way we are looking at it through the lens of, you know, military readiness and the quality of the military is done in a way that's leaked from a hostile internal Pentagon old school structure to a very hostile media. It's like, you, here's the tell, like, how much time is Anderson Cooper spending on it, or Jake Tapper? Like, it's the most important story of the day. Now, granted, it's kind of a slow time in the news cycle, but the fact that they're making this such a big part of their shows is that somebody's sending them, hey, you need to hammer this. This is where we get headset. This is where we get Trump. Not to say that it okays any of the neglect to the quality of our, we spend so much money, we should have the best state of the art, best quality, and not just funnel money to defense contractors who are in good graces with the federal government. But there's a little bit of a game being played here. And, you know, the media have a credibility problem, and you got to view things through that lens. 251-343-0106. We shall return. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just full of sinners and believers. Learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. I've come to know my hero.
Nathan Cowboy.
Life of coming back to politics.
And they still aren't seen. Sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, we do this every week, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and also from Capital Journal is here with us. Todd, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. I guess the first thing, I guess for Sunset Committee yesterday, you know, there's things going on at the in Montgomery during the quote-unquote off time. But they kind of talked to us a little bit about this, these occupational licensing structure in Alabama. It just doesn't seem like it's going away. Or you keep hearing. I mean, we've been talking about this ever since I've been in Alabama politics. But there's a little bit of headway, very subtly, but there's still sort of the same thing going on. It's always gone on there.
Well, that's exactly the point. Like, I know listeners are like, what? You know, come on, it's like really insular, you know, inside Montgomery kind of politics. But this is exactly the kind of state government minutia that matters, especially in terms of like people think like, okay, what kind of like waste, fraud, and abuse you can actually get at. Well, this is it. And what they went at yesterday, which, look, the Sunset Committee is supposed to be a pretty boring committee. It's just reauthorizing these boards and commissions. It's never supposed to be sexy or anything. But what happened yesterday was they uncovered that Keith Warren, this guy who's made a business out of essentially running state boards and commissions, consolidating all that money, has tried to sidestep the accountability process. And I'm really interested. I assume you're going to have Senator Elliott on. He's been bird dogging this for years now. They tried to sidestep the accountability process by doing these intergovernmental agency contracts to say, okay, we'll just, let's just make an agreement between agencies, between boards and commissions, that we'll do all the executive functions and all the, you know, things that people get paid for, and just pay me, and we won't have to go through the accountability process of, through the legislature. Well, they called him on it. They absolutely called him on it. And you saw the story that Claire wrote. I mean, it's not illegal, but this is why these oversight committees exist, is to call it out, to say, hey, this isn't right. I don't think the taxpayers, you know, would expect their money to be spent like this. And so I'm glad we were there. And I'm glad that these committees exist to do exactly their job, to call it all out.
Well, and, you know, well, we still, the whole, I tell you what's interesting is, and you spend time in the building. I mean, they're very well organized in the government affairs department here, it seems like. Like, this is something, as you mentioned, it seems mundane and not very interesting, but they got lobbyists that they know the ins and outs of the business. There's a reason like why these structures continue to exist and in some cases even thrive in Montgomery.
Well, so yeah, we've got thousands of boards and commissions, right? Regulatory, everything from, I mean, the one in question right now is the Alabama Security Regulatory Board. What does that mean? They essentially license security guards, rent-a-cops, you know, for hotels or what have you. Well, okay, that seems pretty mundane. Well, they need, you know, that board needs an executive director. And so what Keith Warren has figured out over decades is, all right, well, just pay me to do it instead of hiring somebody. And he's kind of made a little cottage industry out of it. This has been going on for decades. And now other lobbyists have figured out, oh, I can do the same thing. That's, you know, pretty good cash cow. And it took us kind of exposing all this. This goes back to, I guess it was 2020 or maybe 2019 when we finally, well, there was a lawsuit that kind of called it all out and started exposing all this. Again, it's not illegal. It's just, hang on a second. Why is one guy the executive director of like 12 boards? Because it's all kind of consolidated. And what Keith Warren will tell you is, well, we specialize in this. We know how to do it. We know how to do compliance. We know how to do investigations and all this. And that's all fine. But at a certain point, one starts to wonder, seriously, is that the intent of all this? And so Senator Elliott really and Senator Gudger really started calling all this stuff out. And so what I want to know is moving forward, because Senator Elliott 2 years ago had a bill to reform a lot of this. Now that takes a lot of doing and it really didn't go anywhere. And you know, I hope it'll come back. We're going to have a new administration, so who knows what'll happen. I hope you'll ask him. But it's not like billions of dollars or anything like that, but it's just, it just doesn't smell right. And so that's why, you know, we're in the building to.
Yeah, to, I think that the gripe is, I mean, yes, someone is profiting off of it and right, it doesn't smell right. But it's all the people who have to go through the process of getting licensed by these boards. And they kind of nickel and dime them along the way. And then finally, it was like massage therapy or something like that. Somebody decided they were going to fight back against this. And then it just became like this thing. We talk about it, and it keeps coming up. And then it became like a target for, you know, some of these lawmakers. But that's really where the rub is, because the people who just want to like make a living at a occupation are having difficulty getting licensed to do so.
Yeah, and that's, I'm glad you put it that way, because that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, if you're a cosmetologist or massage therapist, or in this case, a security guard, you know, you have to pay a certain amount to be licensed. And that is a barrier to the workforce. So we have all this conversation about, you know, workforce participation and can we get more people into the workforce? Well, the state, you know, has set up all these barriers. And Alabama's not alone. This is a nationwide issue. Occupational licensing is a nationwide issue. And it's not like we shouldn't have any barriers. Yeah. I mean, you expect, you know, if you go get a haircut, to, you know, for your barber to be licensed and, you know, for there to be a certain amount of accountability. But it's become a cottage industry for lobbyists. And that's where the problem is.
Joined by Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News here on the program. Since we last talked, I guess Bobby Singleton is now the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming, to be honest. I know when he announces, like, wow, how is that going to go over? But he won pretty overwhelmingly. It wasn't even close, like by 100 votes or something. And, you know, I wonder how that world, those worlds are going to coexist. The old Joe Reed machine that's been around for decades. Bobby Singleton, they seem to have kind of coexisted in this environment. But I kind of wonder if there's going to be some friction later on down the road there.
Oh, I mean, yes, there's no question. I see this as a positive. You know, when I saw the vote, you're right, it was overwhelming. And what that meant to me was, okay, the entities like that are the Joe Reed machine, like, kind of understood, they got it. Okay, we're going to go along with the new regime. But, you know, Bobby Singleton, he's the minority leader in the Senate, the minority leader in the House, Anthony Daniels. Lawmakers, the serious Democrats, the Democrats that like want to win elections, have long been really frustrated with the party apparatus. Obviously, it's tough for Democrats to compete statewide, right? But, you know, even on the margins, if they can, you know, compete in a purple district here and a purple district there, or, you know, especially with the congressional elections and stuff like that, it really makes it hard if you don't have a state party that's actually fighting for you and actually organizing and doing all that. And they haven't had that really for a long time, maybe a couple of decades. And so, like, I think a lot of Democrats are just like, give us a fighting chance. And even the national party won't really invest and you know, come down and do things if the state party isn't actually doing it themselves. So that frustration has been there for a long time. They're trying to, you know, get past it. And so I see this as a real positive for the Democratic Party. I mean, I don't know how hands-on Bobby Singleton's going to be, but I know that he's serious about trying to actually win elections when they can. And especially in a year like this when, I mean, of all years, Democrats should be able to compete, you know, more than most years. And so why have a hand tied behind your back as they have really for a couple of decades?
I think where they kind of underwhelm or have underwhelmed, and Josh Moon, I talked about this, whenever Republicans do something and it's objectionable to Democrats, which is a lot of things in the Alabama legislature, you expect the party to respond. This is what Hubbard did when Republicans were in a minority. You know, they would pass something, some kind of budget or whatever, and then, like, you know, 20 minutes later, be a press release from the ALGOP or whatever. And that there was a messaging strategy that while we were still in the minority, this is how we kind of chip away and undermine what we think is the, you know, these malfeasances going on within state government. And you kind of, well, why aren't Democrats doing the same thing? And they just never have that. I mean, they just, you know, sometimes they will if it's something really, really, really big. But, you know, we see it in the state house. They'll have press conferences and things like that. You'll see Anthony Daniels at the mic. You'll see after the, you know, they gavel out the Senate, the minority leaders or Roger Spitherman or whoever will stand to take questions from the press. They kind of, there's this expectation that the party would do something similar, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Those lawmakers in the minority, yeah, they're standing up and being the loyal opposition, but there's no apparatus at the party level. And it hasn't been for a long, long time. And so, yeah, I get their frustration. You know, of course, I guess it was about 5 years ago, you know, Chris Englund stood up and ran for party chair, and he was party chair. And then eventually, you know, the old guard came back. So, yeah, I think a lot of lawmakers are really frustrated. They're standing here alone, you know, waiting for the cavalry, and there's just nothing there. I mean, put it this way. When Bobby Singleton got elected party chair, there wasn't even a press release that went out that said, hey, we have a new party chair. I looked all over the internet. There's nothing. I think the last press release they sent out was like 2023. So yeah, there's something missing there, and I think that's exactly why there was a change in leadership.
Yeah, and you know that they can take these things and they can weaponize them and use them in a way, like you said, they're not going to win statewide elections. But there's a Senate seat or a House seat or something, you know, you start chipping away. They just never were interested in doing that. And I never really fully understood why. And, you know, it's not really my business to understand what goes on in the Alabama Democratic Party. But just kind of watching, like, you know, you guys, you could have done so much more here. And I think there's a lot of interest in at least hearing from the loyal opposition. But it was just kind of silent, you know, and it's not like that in other places at all.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the Alabama Republican Party and Mike Hubbard and Twinkle Andrus and all of those. Think about it like that. Think about before Republicans took over, if if the Alabama Republican Party was not really interested in winning elections and was just interested in making sure that the party leadership had all the contracts and had all the money coming in and all right. that, but wasn't actually interested in winning elections, I mean, people would, you know, be pretty upset, and lawmakers would be pretty upset. That's why Mike Hubbard took over. That's why it took, you know, really a couple of cycles for all that to get done. That's what's happening, and that's why Democrats are, I think, pretty happy about this leadership change. But we'll see. I mean, like we were just talking about, I don't think it's going to mean Democrats suddenly start winning statewide, but at the margins, you've got to be able to compete in the districts you can maybe have a chance in, especially in a year like this.
Well, one more thing, and we'll get you out of here on it, because I think when they tried with Chris England, you talked to Democrats, that the local parties, especially down here in Mobile, and they would tell you that they felt like there was like a hostile takeover, that this was Doug Jones, and this was like the DNC National Party trying to force its will. And then, you know, that really hurt Representative England as chairman, because he never could unify the party. Maybe this time it seems different. The vote margin probably says more to that when you win by overwhelming margin for Bobby Singleton, that he's better positioned than England was, whatever it was, 4, 5, 8 years ago.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I think it does matter in this election. We'll see what happens. Again, it should be a good year for Democrats. I don't know if that trickles down to Alabama, but it also should matter in the legislature. You know, the party should be amplifying whatever message comes from, you know, the House caucus, the Senate caucus, and all that. They haven't had that really since 2010. And so we'll see if that matters. I do think Alabama Democrats are far different than national Democrats. And we'll see. I think it's a good thing for the Democratic Party, but they've got some, you know, they've got some work to do in terms of messaging in this state.
Todd, folks want to find out what you got coming up, let them know, and how they can get your newsletter.
Capital Journal tonight. We actually recorded it at the Business Council of Alabama conference last weekend, so it's a recorded show, but a lot of good content. So tune in tonight, 7:30. And yes, daily news. You get the newsletter. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up right there on the homepage.
Todd Stacey, ladies and gentlemen. Todd, thanks for hopping on.
All right, Jeff. Be good.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Still to come, Senator Chris Elliott will be with us in the next hour. And the 11 o'clock hour, Jerry Carl, the Republican nominee for AL1's open U.S. congressional seat. So please stay tuned for that. Fire Dog, I was in the Pentagon for 5 years. Politics there is a blood sport. It's almost worse than Congress. Yeah, but I just don't think people are aware that how politicized the military, or at least the Department of Defense, but the upper echelons of the military has become. And it's almost, you know, there's a bunch of these things that are really CIA and, you know, the alphabet soup that are wholly political now, that they do play the politics game in a real way that I don't think the public is aware of. You know, we see what goes on in Congress. It's covered by the media, the comings and goings, the elections. But there's a political game being played within the military. And part of that political game is the PR game. And that's why this, you know, this USS Abraham Lincoln, well, I'm not questioning the merits of how bad a kid is or isn't, that it does seem like there's a little bit of that going on here. Like, this is a way to really dirty up one of our political opponents within the Trump administration and win favor in the court of public opinion, which is part of the politics that exists at the Pentagon. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey! Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers. People, get out.